Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Paula Scanlon, first of all, your reaction to the latest with yesterday's higher court ruling by, thank goodness, a Kentucky judge who said that Title IX needs to protect women and girls in sports. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on this morning. Obviously, this is a great win. I was really happy about the news, but part of it is almost like, is there even a reason to be happy? Because the fact that we even have to bring this to the courts and take time to hear out these cases is ridiculous, in my opinion. And so it is a little bit of a mixed feeling where, of course, I'm so grateful for this win, but it's a little bit maddening that we even are having this conversation in the first place.
Yeah, and over the years, what I've seen, and I remember, you know, reporting the whole thing and the way that the media was portraying this, and that's, the media is always complicit as well. And so we saw, first of all, from that aspect of it, the way that the media was celebrating, for example, Leah Thomas, more than any local, let's say, local athlete that I remember, especially a female swimmer from UPenn, and that was really kind of a slap in the face. But for you, having lived through that and having to be silent, and then considering the fact that nobody even bothered your coach, nobody even bothered to ask you or your fellow teammates at UPenn that, you know, whether or not this in any way made you feel uncomfortable, then you've divulged since then, Paula, that you yourself, you're a survivor of an attack, of a rape. And so to be a survivor, to have this large, you know, physically large man, you know, in your locker room, you have to change your swimsuit, and there's really no getting around that. And to live through this, I don't know what lesson there is. I don't know if there's any silver lining, but I sure think it has made you, I think it's changed you. I think I've seen the change in you since I met you a couple years ago at that great Bucks County event. I've seen Riley wanted to be a dentist, and now both of you, I could see both of you as future senators, future presidents. I mean, how much did this change your life and sort of activate you?
Yeah, I mean, so many ways. I think part of it for me was that I saw this happen and I didn't see anyone else wanting to stand up. And a lot of my teammates, even though secretly I know that they agree with me, they would say, oh, I can't believe that Paula is speaking out, or I can't believe Paula has his opinion. It's so hateful. And that's really how we got into this place in the first place. And I think my biggest realization with everything was I used to be like, wow, the people in power that allowed this to happen are to blame. But in a way, the people who knew that this was wrong and continued to stay silent are almost more to blame. And time has gone on, I almost feel more upset with the people who I know are on my side and pretend like they have a different opinion than the ones who just buy into this completely. And that's really been my perspective shift. And I think what we've really been able to accomplish is making this conversation mainstream. And so back when I was going through this, there was no resources. I remember looking up being like, can I get a lawyer? How can we handle this? And now we've been able to form organizations to support girls. When this is happening, we are immediately reaching out to these athletes. We were able to convince girls in the NCAA volleyball world to boycott games against male athletes. I mean, that was a big thing that we saw, a couple of months ago, right? So that's been the benefit, I think, of all of it, is that we've been able to become the support system that I wish that I had when I went through this.
And that's just it. You know, I look at your life. I look at Riley Gaines. I think of, you know, in high school, you were captain of your swim team, champion, and your high school celebrating you, saying, wow, look at Paula. I mean, she's a role model. That's what the moms, especially, and dads of the younger kids, the fifth and eighth grade kids, they're going, look at her. She goes on to an Ivy League school and she's so smart and she's a champion and she's a swimmer. Now you go to UPenn, champion swimmer at a top school, elite, right? You're the leader. And now all of a sudden you face this thing, it's sort of bizarre, but in many ways I have to ask you the question, after all that you went through, a lifetime of practices, over the weekends, after school, before school, all of the discipline, all of that, And then how did going through this alter you as a human being, and I imagine strengthen your resolve?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, during the season, it was incredibly challenging and it was isolating. But I think part of this entire experience has really put me in a position where I never thought I would be. I mean, I was always a pretty political person belief-wise, but I never once thought I would work in the world. But in a way, it's opened up doors and opportunities and new friendships with people that I never would have met otherwise. And so I am actually incredibly grateful for those things. And I think the other thing is it's really taught me is to not worry so much about what other people think. And I think that's something I struggled with a lot during the season and why I was, you know, it was harder to talk about it because I said, oh, well, these people are going to judge me or I'm going to lose friends. And what I realized, and this is important for young girls to realize, is if someone doesn't support you for standing up for what you believe in, then that was never your friend to begin with. But that took me, you know, a full year of going through it to really realize and come to that acknowledgement, because it was challenging and there were friends that left me over my opinions on this. And so that's the biggest piece of advice I give to even younger girls when they're going through this. And when there's people who are worried about speaking up about this, I always remind them of that.
And so for you, and I want to get to what you're doing currently as far as in New Jersey, but I want to ask you about the relationship between, so I know that you and Riley Gaines and others, you've formed friendships and a support level. I know, I don't think you were at the one event in Montgomery. I was hosting the one in Bucks County where you were the featured speaker empowering so many in the community, but then there was another one in Montgomery County where there were, especially North Penn School District, other school districts who are dealing with this very issue, to the fact, Paula, that you helped create that leadership that they could look to you. But I think that, you know, in many ways at that meeting was before the election, and there were parents who didn't want to be shown on camera, you know, who feel intimidated at their local school board level. And Riley at the time, and I know you've said this in the past, Riley said, call their bluff. This is a bigger issue. And I think, and I believe you've said the same thing, that this issue of women and girls being protected and respected was a bigger issue here in Pennsylvania, probably across the country, than people acknowledge as far as voters. Do you know what I'm saying? Who didn't talk about it, didn't want to be seen as mean or banned or whatever. But I do think that you tapped into something, created leadership that people feel grateful for. But how much do you think it influenced voters when they went to the polls, were excited to vote a certain way to protect their daughters?
I mean, I think that this turned into a sleeper issue in this election. I truly do. I mean, I know personally there were a few people that called me on the phone this past summer and said, hey, you know, by the way, I'm going to be voting for Trump, and the reason I'm doing so is because of this sports issue. Well, that might not be the case for every voter in this country or even every voter that ended up voting for Trump. Mm-hmm. I think that it showed really that this was an issue that a lot of people cared deeply about and maybe weren't willing to say publicly. But what I will note is that town hall that Trump did with mothers, and I think it was in Georgia, and it was, how many of you guys in this room are concerned about your daughters having to compete against men in their sports? Or it was a question along those lines. And every single mother in the room, hand shot up. And so I think it really shows, again, this is an issue that a lot of people care deeply about. And I think that it also showed that women were willing to vote for their own safety. And it was something, again, that we didn't talk about ever in 2020. It was not part of the 2020 voting conversation whatsoever. And in 2024, it turned into, I would say, a top issue, especially since it was a platform thing that was released from the RNC. It was number 17 on the list of policy. And there was only, I think, maybe 20-something things that were listed off.
So now at this point, your latest title is New Jersey Coordinator for Early Vote Action. And I know that you were working with Scott Pressler, who's come to fame now here in Pennsylvania and across the nation. And so what does this mean? And now you're a woman on a mission, But what do you hope to succeed with, and what's your mission as far as being the New Jersey coordinator for early vote action?
Yeah, so after the election, so I went to school in Pennsylvania. My family's from New York originally. I live in New York City now, and I grew up in Connecticut. So I've always been sort of Northeast based. Mm-hmm. And I had this, you know, when I started working in politics a couple of years ago now, I always felt out of place in the Northeast. I always felt like the Northeast was just way too blue and no one would ever vote accordingly. And I had been hearing whispers that New Jersey was a closer state than people were giving it credit. And I said, no way, no way. I'm from this area. And I saw the results of the 2024 election, and I saw that New Jersey had shifted 11 points from 2020. I was shocked. And I said, wow, wait a minute, guys. It was in swing state territory. It was at a certain point during the tallying, it was closer than Arizona was. And so I just said, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. This is a swing state. And so I immediately, you know, was tweeting all these things about New Jersey. And I was like, guys, this is crazy. This is crazy. And then I heard whispers that Scott Pressler was actually thinking about picking New Jersey as a state to expand into. And so it just made sense. It was just like, wow, I have an interest in doing this. And his team wanted to get into New Jersey. And so pretty quickly after the election, it turned into conversations. And eventually, I was like, absolutely, I will come help coordinate this. And so really what we're trying to do is work with local organizations, local people, local volunteers, and register new Republican voters. And I think another aspect of that is also changing voter affiliations. There are a lot of people who have previously been registered as Democrats that are very unhappy with the leadership in the state, whether it be. And I think the biggest thing that we're hearing from people is affordability. And the Democrats have not shown any desire or any real tangible plans to address the issues of the New Jersey voters.
You know, it's not a leap for me to say, do you have in your brain, whether it's New Jersey, whether it's Pennsylvania, or I don't know, maybe the state of New York, but any of these places, I could totally see you running for office. Is that something that now, I don't know if you tell me, I mean, when you were in college or high school, was that something that you aspired to do? Or is that something that now I can't be the only one, Paula, saying this. I mean, you're like a natural.
I have been approached by a lot of people sort of asking me that question. I think right now I am excited to see more behind the scenes things with New Jersey, talk to voters, really just be on the ground. Help out some campaigns, maybe if that's something that's in the future. I really want to be more experienced and more well-versed before I try to commit myself into anything like that. I think it is important to go and do the work that isn't necessarily pleasant. I mean, it's not the most fun thing in the world to stand outside for 12 hours and talk to voters and get them registered. But I think that that's important work to be done in order to be a more effective leader in the space, whether that actually be being a politician or just stepping into other leadership positions.
You know, when I met you in person at the Bucks County event a couple years ago, your brother was there. And I love that, seeing that relationship between you and your brother. And he, you know, we had a chance to talk a little bit. How much has your family support, your parents, your brother, as far as everything you've been through? And what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I really love the family system that I have. And actually something I was thinking about is my family is not hardcore Republicans. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. And people always accuse young girls, especially that are in this space of, oh, well, your family just tells you to vote a certain way and it's the talking head. But because I have family with such diverse viewpoints, it actually really put pressure on me to develop my own thoughts and opinions. And that's something I'm so thankful for. And again, just them being supportive of me in doing this, even if they don't 100% agree with every single thing that I vote on. And there's things I disagree with my parents on policy-wise, but they're not telling me they're going to disown me. They're not saying, we never want to speak to you again. And that's not the case in every family. And so that's something I'm incredibly grateful for. And if anyone's listening, I advise you not to, you know, distance yourself from any friends or family because their viewpoints might be different. I advise you to have a conversation with them and work to a common solution. And oftentimes you might find that your opinion might change, or even better, your opinion might strengthen after having these conversations. And so that's something that I want to see changed in this country. I'm really, really tired of, and I've had friends, again, call me on the phone saying, I never want to speak to you again. You're a disgusting bigot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have the exact same opinions I had 5 years ago. You just never heard me say them publicly before.
I'm sorry that that happened, but like you said, they weren't real friends, right, Dan?
Yeah. When I hear something like that, it's just, it's terrible to hear. And, you know, it's not something you often think of when you hear Paula on here or Riley and the flack that you face, not only from, you know, online communities, mm-hmm. but people in your daily lives, your personal lives, people that you trusted that you thought had your back and then felt betrayed by. You were talking about your co-swimmers earlier that just, you know, looked at you differently, and it's
terrible.
You've been through a lot, Paula, and we got a lot of commenters on yeah. YouTube where they're so happy to hear you and think of you as such a strong woman. So just thank you, and thank you for staying yeah. in the area and now trying to flip New Jersey with Scott. That's awesome.
Amen.
Here.
That's
yeah,
so
I appreciate you guys also just for taking the time to even talk about these issues. It was just something, again, that wasn't mainstream. There wasn't coverage. There wasn't people who are willing to have these conversations and just listen to the female athletes that have been affected. And that's, again, the biggest shift I've seen in the last probably 4 years now since this issue really started to lift up in 2021.
Well, it's because of you.
It is. Yeah. And we do. We celebrate you, everybody on the YouTube chat, and just I'm getting DMs and texts. I will say this, too, even with regard to the California fires, and I'm hearing this more and more from people, whether it's like the issue you said, an issue such as, you know, protecting but also celebrating and respecting girls and women in sports or in a bathroom, or whether it's having a game plan in a city like Los Angeles and not cutting back on things like, you know, the firefighters' budget. I've heard more and more people saying, you know, If you were going to hire, I don't know, a plumber or an electrician or, you know, the auto tech, the guy who's, or gal who's going to fix your vehicle, you never would ask any people in your life usually who are the expert at fixing something. You wouldn't ask them, well, do you have a D behind your name or an R behind your name? And so do you see some of these issues, these common issues that you've dealt with, you've lived through, that the mentality changing at all? I'm not talking about the unfortunate ignoramuses who were affected by the media, the biased media narrative, not talking about them. But do you see that change? And I wonder in New Jersey if that's beginning to be the attitude of, hey, let's just look at the best person who has some real answers and is a doer and is going to get the job done.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think the people in Los Angeles right now are starting to see that from what I'm seeing online. There's people who are just, they don't really care about party affiliation once there's a disaster. They just want to be helped. And so I think that's something we're going to be really working on with voters and say, hey, it's not about Republican versus Democrat. It's about, again, yeah, exactly, competence. Who do you see having tangible solutions and real desire to actually help the people and better the lives of the voters? And I think that's really what it comes down to. And that's something we need to work on more in this country. But I do think in the state level, there is more opportunity to do that, right? The national platform, the national election, I think that matters a lot more. From what I've seen in local races, even in my parents' area in Connecticut, we have a Republican state senator, which is shocking because it's Connecticut. But you see some of the people saying, actually, no, I just like this person because he's competent. I like this person because he cares about the people. And so, yeah, we are going to try to tap into that. And again, at the state level, there is more opportunity to do that than in the national platform when we're doing these presidential elections.
Well, Paula Scanlon, thank you so much for everything. We really do appreciate you. And please come back. Any events that you want us to support you with and what you're doing, we want to just be there for you, support you. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you so much for having me on. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.